Anybody who knows where that phrase started, began, the first time that somebody said the just shall live by faith in the scripture, who was it? Right. Okay, but you've heard about it. The just shall live by faith. The first person who made this proclamation was the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk, if you read Habakkuk chapter 1, he is asking about how long they are going to suffer, the things that he has heard from the Lord, about God. And he's really trying to really think about God and his great power and every work that the Lord had done. Habakkuk chapter 1. In chapter 1, he's asking, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save." So this is a prophet who is very distressed and is feeling like things are not really the way they are supposed to be. In chapter 2, he says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me." So he has prayed, but at the same time he's saying, "I'm not going to leave this place of prayer. I will stand my watch. I'm going to stay here until I get an answer, until I hear what God will say to me. If he corrects me, he will correct me." And our God is faithful. When you stand and wait on him, he's faithful. He responds. And so we find that he responds to Habakkuk. And this is what he says. "Then the Lord answered to me and said, write the vision." You know, we love that, yeah? Because that is the most popular part of Habakkuk. "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak, it will not lie. And though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." And then verse 4 says, "Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Have you noted that? It's not just by faith, but by his
faith.
"But the just shall live by his faith." So, the Lord tells Habakkuk so many things about what is going to happen. Writes the vision in a big letter. The proud, what will happen to the proud, but there is that remnant, the just, and the just shall live by faith. So I want us to really focus on this phrase, a statement that even Martin Luther is famous for, saying the just shall live by faith. But what does it really mean to live by faith? So we can start by breaking it down. Who are the just? Do I qualify to be part of the just? Am I in this? Am I expected to live by faith? So who are the just? And the simple answer is those who believe are just. Because Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, the Bible says, "And by him," now Christ Jesus, "all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." So by just believing in Christ Jesus, we are justified from all things. What is the meaning of justified? It's being made just, made righteous. It's having the right standing with God. That comes from us believing in Jesus Christ. The justice that could not have come from the law of Moses, we've already been made just. We have been justified because of believing. So my first question to you is, do you believe in Jesus Christ? So are you among the just? Yes. So does this apply to you?
Yes.
The just shall live by
faith.
By faith. So are you living by faith? Because the problem is not believing. Like we said, even the devil, we read last week in the book of James, even the demons believe and they tremble. The difference now is knowing that you are among the just because you have accepted the gospel of Christ Jesus, you are justified, and the gospel of Christ Jesus is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. His righteousness is revealed through faith. You know, when you are forgiven your sins, there is no certificate that you receive. Like, okay, now here is a certificate you have received Jesus Christ, you are, that you can go show in everybody. Oh, you see this certificate? You see, like the way you go to school and you graduate and you have your diploma. There is nothing physical for us to show that we have been forgiven. But you have to believe it in your heart. But then where is the evidence that you are forgiven? It is by the way you live. We together?
Mm-hmm.
At Romans 1 verse 16 to 17, the Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we find the statement again in Romans. Romans 1 verse 17. The just shall live by faith. So for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. So you come from the first level of faith, of believing, my sins are forgiven. I am a new creature. All right? And then from that very moment, you are expected to grow from faith to faith, exercising that righteousness that you have received. Righteousness, being clothed with righteousness, is to be right, to have a right standing with God. Meaning there is no more condemnation because you are in Christ Jesus. So anything that could have hindered you from receiving from the Father, it is no longer there. You are no longer accused. You are no longer rejected. You are reconciled with the Father. Okay? But from that very moment you've been reconciled with the Father, then how do you live in a way that shows you have a Father? Living by faith. I said it's not a certificate that you can go showing everyone, oh, here is a certificate, I'm saved. Woo! But the way you live, it should be from faith to faith to faith. So we can conclude by saying that the just are we who believe. We are justified in Christ. His righteousness is revealed through faith. That righteousness is revealed through faith. And we said, what is faith? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So now that you are a candidate, do we all agree we are all candidates of this statement? Are you just?
Yes.
So the question is, how are you living? Huh? Yeah? So what will the just do with their faith? From this statement, what does the Bible say? What are you supposed to do with your faith?
Leave it.
Exercise it. Yeah? So the just shall live. How we live our life is very important. And there is a comparison in the book of Galatians of those who would live by the law and those who lived by faith. You know, before the justification that we received by accepting the gospel of Christ Jesus, before that, there was the law of Moses. So there is a clear difference between those who lived by the law and those who live by faith. So if we go to Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, we're going to start from verse 2. You there yet? Galatians, you have your Bible?
I do.
Yes. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to start from verse 2. This only... This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I don't know whether we mentioned last week that faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Did we mention that? All right. So Paul is asking the Galatians, and he's a little bit mad because if you start from verse 1, he calls them foolish. He's mad. And he's saying, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. So from that, the way he starts that chapter, he's really worked up. And he's even asking them, who bewitched you? What's wrong with you? And he's asking, I want to understand. I want to learn. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? You have begun in the Spirit. Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Because he's pointing out you began well. By faith. But then you started now applying logic and the flesh. What's going on? Is it because, you know, he said it wasn't because of your efforts, because the law, you fulfilled the law by efforts. It was a lot of work. You say you didn't receive the Spirit. It's not because you were working hard to get the Spirit. You received by the hearing of faith. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He's asking, what's going on? After everything else you have gone through. And you know, unfortunately, we can look at the Church of Galatians and feel like, they really needed that reprimand. But do you know many believers, we start the first love. You know, the moment you get saved, you're just so full of fire. Huh? And then you start saying, hey, I've become wiser. You think it is wisdom. You started now living in there. You started now using your own effort. And he's asking, you've suffered so many things. Were they in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's asking, the miracles, the ministration, is it by the law or is it by faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted for him righteousness. I think we touched on this about how Abraham believed God. And because of that, it was accounted for him as righteousness. It pleased God. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So, if we are of faith, then we ought to do what Abraham did. What made Abraham be counted righteous? Because he believed. You know, when you talk about faith and believing, it might seem like such a simple thing. But it has to be a conscious decision, like, I believe. It doesn't matter what anything else is saying out here. Like some of us mentioned how after the assignment, they realized how the doubt came in. I believe. We read about Sarah last time, that Sarah, even though her womb was as dead, she believed in him who promised. Because this is a matter of taking yourself out of the picture and your eyes on him who has spoken and has said he will do it. All right? And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident for, can we say that together? The just shall live by faith. So, when it is matter of faith, every human effort is taken out of the equation. So, as long as we have breath, we must live. We can't receive justification and faith and then do nothing. We will do something. We will either walk according to God's will or according to our will. So, how shall the just live? Because the many just are living. Amen. Many are living. We are alive, yeah? We are living. But how are they just living? Are we supposed to live? That's the third time now we've seen the just shall live by faith. So we live by faith. Hebrews 11, this I'm sure we will keep, as long as we are talking about faith, we'll keep going back to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. So when you think about that, what comes to mind? We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So we read Genesis and we know that the Lord said, let there be. How do you explain that? No wonder we have evolution and we have all these other theories trying to explain how we came to existence. Because faith is simple. Faith means I believe what is written in Genesis, that God said, let there be, and there, yes, and there was. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. What is your understanding in that? Anyone?
Speaking, like calling things into existence.
Mm-hmm. So that's what God did. Mm-hmm. Anyone else who has something to add on that?
God saw it. But in the spirit, he called it out into the physical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It's not what it really means is that he wasn't copying. He called things into existence. So it's not that, you see, like I can take this cup and come up with an idea of making a cup because I have already seen this. But how God did it, according to this text, is that he called original things. It wasn't there before. It's not from the, because if you operate from here to the unseen, then this is not faith. But if you operate from the unseen to manifest, mm-hmm. then that is faith. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But we want to operate from the other way around. Mm-hmm. I want to see, and then I will believe. You believe even when you have not seen. So that what you believe will manifest. We see it. And we know that without faith we cannot please God. So I wanted to touch a few people about living by faith. And we see the first person lived by faith in worship. This is Abel. He's in the way he gave, offered sacrifice unto God. His worship was by faith. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Now that's a very powerful proclamation. His way of giving, his way of worship, was a definition or a clear display of faith. By even how he chose an excellent sacrifice. Remember Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. And whoever comes to him must believe that he exists. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So from the beginning, Abel knew who he was going to offer the sacrifice to. He offered by faith. While Cain was not giving his best, it's because he didn't have faith in the one he was worshiping. But look, so when we talk about living, the just shall live by faith, this is signified even by our worship. As we worship him. I know when we touch on Abel, you may think it's only substances. Like giving, but also our personal worship, the way we worship him, it should be worship by faith. It should be a display of faith that we know who we are calling. We know who we are raising our hands to. We have faith in him. So our living, it's not just in the area of receiving from him because of our faith, but also how we give to him. Our worship. Does that make sense? And then the other person, verse 5, is how we walk. It said worship. The other one displays walk. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. If you go to the book of Genesis to study this man Enoch, the Bible says that at the age of 60, I think at the age of 60, he had his son Methuselah. And then he started walking with God. And the Bible says he had other sons and daughters. By the age of 300, the guy has walked with God for 300 years. They didn't see him. God took him. Walking with God. And I always admire the fact that he was still doing his normal, what we call normal living. Because he still had more. Did you find that verse? He got more sons. He got more daughters. So he was still doing his duties as a father. Can you read that for us?
Genesis 5:21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away.
So this guy didn't even taste death. You know, when I study about Enoch, it means you are a mother, you are a nurse, you are a teacher, you are an accountant, you that does not exempt you from walking with God. This guy is the father of the oldest man. Methuselah was the oldest man in the world. Nobody has ever lived. And he has other sons and daughters, meaning he's what we call normal life is still going on. But there is something very unique. He's walking with God. So it's not just about living. I'm breaking down living into three compartments. I've said worship. The other one is walk. And I want to talk about the next person. This is Noah. Walking. This guy, if we lived in the days of Noah, I'm sure we'll be among those who mocked him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Things not yet seen. You know what we are talking about? Things not yet seen. There had never been rain or flood before. And here is Noah saying rain is coming. And the guy is walking by faith, building an ark. Hey! Huh? Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So, when we say the just shall live by faith, it means your worship is by faith. Your walk is by faith. Your work is by faith. Do you know how many years Noah built that ark?
120.
One is saying 120, the other one is saying 100. Which is which? Pastor Mickey, how many years did Noah build that ark? Let's confirm. So that you tell me you're working. Huh? It's Bible study, so.
One twenty.
All right. So, how many years have you been working? Where you are working? How many years have you been working? How is your living there at work by faith displayed? You're looking at me like that. The just shall live by faith. All right. So, how do we activate this? How do we activate? Because there is the moment you hear the truth, that truth sets you free. And I said, living by faith, you have to be intentional about it. Have to be intentional about it. It means that you, it's like understanding it's no longer about this earth realm. It's about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is here. It's manifested. His will is done. Amen. So Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. This is one of my favorite verses. It talks about how we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So our living by faith, our walking by faith, there are people around that are witnessing. There are even others who went ahead of us that are witnessing. We have such a crowd of witnesses. The people we are reading about in Hebrews 11, because we'll keep going down by and covering each and every one of them step by step. Today we've covered Abel, we've covered Enoch, and we've covered Noah. They're looking. Your children are looking. Your co-workers are looking. Your friends are watching. The just shall live by faith. So Hebrews 12, from verse 1 and 2, it gives us some strategy. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily besets us. And let us run with, excuse me, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So it is very important to keep checking. What is keeping me from living by faith? What is that weight that is besetting me? What is that that is entangling me? So remember, the qualification for you to live by faith is being just, being justified, yeah? And so the enemy has a tendency of tricking people to live with unconfessed sins. And the moment you are entangled with sin, you lose the power to exercise faith, because you're going to try to pray for something and then the enemy will ask you, oh, now, you are praying and you did this and that. So every time there is that disqualification because of unconfessed sin, it takes away your authority to exercise faith, because it is the just that shall live by faith. So Hebrews is giving us a direction. Every now and then, check, what is the weight that is easily entangling me? What is that sin that is easily besetting me? I need to get rid of it so that I run the race that is set before me. And what is the race? We've already been all called to walk by and to live by faith. And how do we do this? Verse 2 gives us another step on how can we live by faith. We have to know our focus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, he's the author, he's the one who started that work of faith. Remember, we've been justified by faith because we believed in him. So the genesis of faith in your heart is Jesus Christ. The one who perfects that faith is Jesus Christ. The one who will bring the work he started to an end, to a completion, is Jesus Christ. So now, when we talk about living by faith and walking by faith, if you look at the government of United States, your faith will not stand. If you look around at your friends, your faith will not stand. If you look around at everything going on around the world, if that is where your focus is, then your faith will not stand. So you, as a believer, you have to consciously and make effort that every time you are focused, you are looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And let me explain about looking unto Jesus. This verse talks in a depth, and it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it gives us an example of how he did it. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, because of the joy that was set before him. How did he go through the cross? He had faith of where he is going. He had faith of the joy that is set before him. And how did he do it? There is one of the powerful things that is I love about this verse. The Bible says, despising the shame. You know what that means? I will use my language. Akenyarara gishonoko. You know, I do not eat mafafai. And you cannot eat mafafai when I'm there. I will start feeling yuck. And you cannot even make me feel bad that you're having mafafai, because looking at those mafafai, I'm like, yeah. And I feel like I can throw up. I cannot even pay attention to what you're doing. And every time I think about that, I think of that and I apply to how Jesus did it. You know, he was put on the cross naked. The aim of the enemy was to shame him. You know, but Jesus looked at it and said, you think this is anything? Despised that shame. Focused on the joy that was set before him. Are we getting that? That means no matter what you find along the way in your journey, in your walk of faith, in your living of faith, you can be able to despise anything else that is not faith. It should not bother you. That is what this means. It shouldn't bother you because you know what is ahead of you. Amen. Any questions so far? All right. So the other thing that we need to know is that you have to be patient with yourself. There are things that will come along the way that make you feel like you're failing as the just living by faith. And that's why Hebrews is saying we need to run with patience. This is now where the aspect of timeline comes in that makes us pull away from what we had believed. Patience. Run with patience. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of patience. If you are going to live by faith, you have need of patience. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 37 says, I'm in Hebrews 10. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now, again, we get this phrase. Now, verse 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You know how encouraging it is? The word of the Lord is saying, the just shall live by faith. But there is a warning. If anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the Lord is saying, if anyone draws back, it's going to be disappointing for me. And then there is an encouragement, but we are not of them that draw back. We are not of them that draw back. Amen. We are not of them that draw back. I'm going to pause there. And we can have questions from today's lesson.